and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 of the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Racing Across America. Brian Natto with you here as we kick off week five. We pass Whitney. It's a four-star day week, and this is the 20th of 40 days at the meet. It only feels like the middle of October if you've done 20 days. As I said to my buddy next door to me, I'll bring him in, Michael Baychuk. I said, it's not the 40 days up here. It's the 40 nights at Saratoga, but happy to have Michael in with me from New Orleans, bringing some of that weather in, and good to see you. First and foremost, the last time I saw you was in New Orleans at Fairgrounds in a little different time, so it's good to see you here and up here in Saratoga.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I mean, I love it up here. It's like heaven, as most people say, and I really enjoy the time that I get to spend up here.
You're here for almost a week, basically, you said, too, right?
It's a long stretch, but as you said, it's not the longest stretch. It's it's not the 40 days, it's the 40 nights, but just the 6 nights that I'm here, that's a long stretch.
That's a long stretch, and, you know, as a guy that lives just outside New Orleans, he's pretty seasoned at that kind of stuff, but horse player, political guru, I'll say, chef, activist and all that, but you are up here for a very important cause and reason and something very important, I know, close to your heart as well. Talk about what's going on tonight. Gumbo for the Horses in Saratoga. We'll bring up that graphic. You can kind of just talk over it. I know you and Peter Thomas, my buddy, For Natal, are working together on this, something, as I said, very important to you.
Yeah, you know, Thoroughbred Aftercare is something that I basically became more aware of after I won the NHC.
Right.
Because I started worrying about, the horse that won it for me was Glorious Dancer, and she was a $6,500 maiden claimer at Golden Gate, and she won her first race, and I just started thinking, you know, she won me $1 million basically by a nose.
2012 NHC that Michael won that kind of put him on that, at least the racing map, that is, and that
right.
is. You know, the top of the top for contests, $1 million, and that was the horse that won it for you.
That's right, in the last race of the contest, and she won it by a nose. And so I just started thinking, you know, this horse has changed my life,
mm-hmm.
right, forever. And I just wanted to know what was going to happen to her at the end of the day. And I knew from experience, there's not a big safety net for horses on the West Coast at that level.
$6,500
Right,
claims.
And then two races later, she hadn't won another race, and she was probably going to, she was dropped to five. And so I claimed her
mm-hmm.
With the intention of retiring her. But, you know, we ran her a couple times. She won a race, and then she got a little injury. And my trainer, Steve Sherman, Art Sherman's son, said, we're going to take 6 months off and we're going to do this to her and that. And I was like, look, she's done enough. I mean, she's done enough for me and she's done enough racing. So I retired her. We brought her back to Louisiana, put her in an aftercare program there. And she was adopted by a neurosurgeon in New Orleans. And she became a polo pony. So she's traveled the world literally playing polo for the last 8 years, and she lives up in Folsom, which is about an hour from where I am, and she's lived the life of Riley, which is what she earned by giving me, you know, a better life. So I gave her, a better life. And, you know, as I said, I really wasn't attuned to aftercare until that happened. You know, I took for granted, like most horse players, I think, what we only watch and worry about what happens during the race and not about what happens to horses after racing. And I was definitely guilty of not paying more attention. So I just, at that point, thought, you know, whatever I could do. And as you said, I became a little famous, you know, within my certain circle. And so whenever I can, I'm going to use my voice and my presence to advocate for aftercare for horses. And that's what we're doing with this, with the gumbo for the horses.
Yeah, if you want the full story, I think it was Ron Mitchell that wrote it in the 2013 Blood Horse called Glory. Just do a Google search, Glorious Change Blood Horse, and it'll pop up. The whole kind of full, all-encompassing story of what Michael did and the Glorious Change story. That kind of brings us a little full circle to today, or I should say tonight, what exactly you're doing. Because as I mentioned, horse player and very, what is actually your day job, so I can get it correctly for everybody? Because you are in the political sphere, I guess.
Yeah, I am a political consultant.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So you're also a chef. So, Brian, can we bring the graphic back up for tonight? I want to get all the details down. You can buy a ticket online to this. It obviously supports the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. So it's tonight, 6 to 8 o'clock, just a little bit outside of town, in the backyard at Simply Food by Mara. There you see it, 666 Route 9 in Wilton. That could only be Peter Thomas there. And so talk about what exactly is going to happen tonight, and you can buy the ticket today as well.
Yeah, so what'll happen is if you have a ticket, which I hope you do, or you can buy one at the door, you'll get a serving of a cup of gumbo. It's my favorite recipe.
Okay.
It's from Brightson's restaurant in New Orleans, which is my favorite New Orleans restaurant. And Frank Brightson was supposed to be with me here.
Okay.
And just because of circumstances running his restaurant in New Orleans, he's not up here. But he sent his gumbo, which he made on Saturday, up with me. And we'll put it all together tonight, because it takes, you know, we're using a gumbo base, and we'll combine a couple more ingredients. And I'll be in the kitchen making sure it all happens right. And it's guaranteed to be the best gumbo anyone has ever tasted tonight. That's an absolute guarantee, because it's the best gumbo that I've ever had, and I've had a lot of gumbo.
And as someone that lives just you're Baton Rouge, right? Just a little bit outside of New Orleans. The food down there, as I've got accustomed to in the last several years, is second to none, and they know what they're doing. You get a beer with that as well, so. The food in and around New Orleans is just off the charts.
Right. I mean, you know, you probably had gumbo in other places, but I mean, this is the home. It's like, you know, you go to Saratoga for horse racing, you go to New Orleans for gumbo.
Sure.
Okay. And so it is the best that there is. And I hope people enjoy it. And I want to thank Frank Brightson for donating the gumbo, putting it together, making sure I got it up here all right. And Kim Weir with, you know,
Kim's great.
Yeah, with TRF and Pete. And so hopefully, you know, we wanted to do this last year. COVID got in the way, and I saw where Kendrick Carmouche did get a gumbo event for TRF. Maybe next year, maybe. We'll do a cook-off. Kendrick has, you know, got his Louisiana roots. Hey, I'm
throwing the gauntlet down.
I'm ready. I'm challenging. I really want to challenge Bobby Flay, but I know he won't. He won't accept the challenge.
Right.
But next year, maybe we'll do a Kendrick and a Bachok Brightson.
Right. So that's 6 to 8 tonight. Yep. We're going to talk horses in a second. Let's bring up the NHC video, Brian, because this is a good one as well. Michael with his poker face. This is that final contest race where Glorious Dancer ends up getting the money. And Michael's sitting on 5 aces here, apparently, because he doesn't want anybody to know that what exactly is happening here. And he's got this horse. This is the Golden Gate race, where literally the last race of the contest, correct?
That's right. So you had, you know, the situation was I was behind by $11.80 or something like that. And I'd bet a horse that had to be 3-1. And Glorious Dancer was 3-1. And she won. She got her nose up at the very end. And I didn't think I was sitting on 5 aces.
Uh-huh.
I really didn't know what to think at that point. I mean, because you're just, you know, you're live for $1 million.
Sure.
I mean, you know, so I was just, it was a little bit of an otherworldly experience. Mm-hmm. It was almost like out of body.
Right.
You know, and I was just trying to experience.
Yeah, mosquitoes up here.
I was just trying to experience the whole the whole thing. And I was just trying to take it all in because I knew I'd never probably be in that situation again.
Right.
So I was trying to, that was my zen. People think that I was, you know, like you said, a poker. I was just, you know, mortified, terrified, and all at the same time, you know. So that's what my terrified face looks like.
James Dixon sighting in that video.
James Dixon sighting.
See that? Wow. Or a long time friend that you partnered up with. Now, yeah. Well, again, back to full circle. It is a big day here in Saratoga, not just for the TRF and the gumbo, but we have a giant pick six brewing today, $1.87 in the kitty. And I think we'll go past $1.5 million. I think two is in play with the layoff. There's no Delaware. There's no Del Mar tonight. A dollar base. They've been really firing in the pick six. You're as good as it gets at this game. You have any opinions on what is a very, very tricky sequence, too?
Yeah, I've only looked at the last couple. So I wanted to start from the back, not for any particular reason, but for, in you know, constructing tickets. I feel like sometimes I get to the end of a pick six or pick five sequence, not a three or a four, and you almost like you're trying to shove a square peg in a round hole, and you're saying like, oh, I have too many horses. I can only use, you know, one or two, and I just wanted to kind of attack it from the back.
Sure.
So I don't know what the first three or four hold, mm-hmm. you know, but my sense of the last race is I'm hopeful that I can find some value in the front so I can use the brown.
Because kind of has to sort of win, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
If I don't.
Clever fellow, by the way.
But if I don't find horses in the front, you know, if it looks a little chalkier, then I have no issue not using the brown in the last. And that's kind of, you know, the way that I've really, over the past year or two, evolved in constructing tickets. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have a ticket that everybody's going to have.
Of course.
Right? So everybody's going to have the brown.
Yes.
You know, maybe 50% of the tickets might even single the brown.
Especially being the last race.
Correct. So that's why I started.
Right.
And I actually found a couple of horses in the last that I think I can make stories for.
Okay.
David Aragona, who I respect tremendously, has made both of them 30-1.
Okay.
Which kind of gives me a little bit of pause. But I think it was the 11, Louie Loves the River.
Yep. Louie Loves the River.
I think that, you know, you can go back to that race, I think, in April at Aqueduct. And so this horse
first turf start, second turf start, first turf route.
And his two turf starts are his, by far, his best races.
Definitely.
So he's definitely a turfer. His form is a little dirty. Mm-hmm. But if you watch that April 12th race, it was really a strong effort, mm-hmm. a very strong effort. And he's run third at the level. So, you know, that's a 30-1.
Right.
I'm willing to, you know, use that horse at 30-1.
Mm-hmm.
Probably he's only 30 because David thinks the brown is going to be even money.
Well, right. And what Mike's alluding to, when you have a 12 horse field and someone's even, it just blows the rest of the field.
Right. So it's not a bad line. It's probably what he projects the final odds to be. But this horse should not be 30-1.
Right.
Okay. The other horse that I thought was also very, very interesting, I think, was the 9.
Addicted to You.
Yeah. Which, again, and I'm not normally a video trip player, but I went back and watched this horse's last race. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting to me was, you know, bad trip. I mean, it looked like, I think, 10 jumps out of the gate, the horse was last by 3 lengths, mm-hmm. had no early speed, and then really made a really nice sustained move to get into contention at the top of the stretch and got stopped.
Right.
And then you're thinking, okay, this is a maiden claimer. What normally happens is this horse is going to run eighth by 15,
mm-hmm.
right? And he didn't, or she didn't. And really ran a very strong closing kick. And to me, you know, that style on the inner turf going a mile and 16th definitely favors closers. So I'm looking for the closers. I will try to play against the speed, although the brown, again, looks very difficult to beat, but I'll have no issue throwing that horse out completely.
And Michael makes a good point on Addicted to You. And I've said this on the show before, and I think, it's very important. When you're talking about grade one and grade two horses, okay, they can stop and start and get back in it. When you're talking about $40,000 maiden claimers, that's not in their MO to get stopped, break again, and keep going. Like you said, typically they're going to run eighth, beaten 14 lengths. This horse didn't do that and did re-break again and came on. Only three starts, lightly raced. The fact that he was 72-1 last time, too, will scare people away, so you will get square price. And you brought up another good point that you don't want the $800 pick six ticket that everybody is going to have because, yes, Clever Fellow is pretty tough, especially at the end. He's probably even money on the tote board. Anybody on a budget has to single this horse today.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not the authority on ticket construction, but I've learned a lot from people who are over the past year. And I think they would tell you there's really no way you can use the Brown if on a small ticket.
Right.
You know, because you know, everybody's going to have it.
Right.
So, and if you can't find value on the other legs, then you're really better off not playing at all.
I think that's another great point that people
No, don't. I'm not one of those people. I'm going to
no,
play.
No, but look for something that's not there.
Correct.
Right.
If you look through this sequence and you're thinking, oh, it's 3 out of 6, 4 out of 6 chalk that you really like.
Right.
Might not be the time to
play. No, or just play a $64 ticket
very
and be over
small
and done
ticket.
With. Correct. Exactly.
Right.
So,
I mean, I'm a much better, I've learned one thing, you know, I'm a much better handicapper than I am a better.
Okay.
And I would much rather be that be opposite. I'd much rather
yes.
be a much better and ticket constructor than a handicapper, because I think that is so much more important
yeah.
than the handicapping. And I've only recently come to that that conclusion. But I'd love to be a better.
Mike Callahan, who just was with me on the handicappers board and just left, and you took a spot in that chair. That was the last conversation we had, that it's so important. Ticket construction. You can pick all the winners you want. If you can't put them together, it's going to be very problematic to your bankroll.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if in a pick three or pick four, you know, you can get away with probably not being a better.
Right.
But in a pick six, you really have to have opinions.
Especially on a dollar.
Now, yeah, too. So if you have a couple really strong opinions, those are singles, you know,
yep.
and you just construct your ticket around that, not, oh, I got to have the favorite. Oh, I have to have the Ortiz brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to have the Brown. I mean, look, this is my mentality and has been my mentality for years. You know, you want to, you can't be afraid of getting kicked out of the ticket.
Right.
Just because you're wasting money.
They all lose 80% of the time, by the way.
Right.
So.
Right.
Michael Baychuk, I appreciate him stopping by. Don't forget, tonight, 6 to 8 o'clock, just a little bit outside of town, the TRF. Thanks, Bri Gumbo for the horses, teaming up with Peter Thomas. Fornital, TRFINC.org. You can get on there and get your ticket. Hopefully we'll see you later tonight. Like I said, 6 to 8 o'clock. Michael, always great to see you.
Thank you,
Brian. Appreciate
you
stopping by, and I will see you later tonight as well. First break here on the Wednesday edition of Racing Across America. When we come back, Dave Grenning with the Racing Forum. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the West. I'm Scott Varley at Saratoga's latest and greatest high-rise luxury condo. Starting in the mid-fives, every condo here has 2 bedrooms and 2 baths and upgrades, just like this. Check out these oversized private balconies. We also have a gym, a private lounge, and get this, a heated parking garage. To make a reservation for your private condo at the West, call or text me. I'm Scott Varley at 518-281-6808.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
For 4 generations and looking forward to a 5th, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of Racing Across America. Brian Natto with you. Special thanks to Michael Baychuk for stopping over. And again, that's tonight, the TRF Benefit Gumbo for the Horses just outside Saratoga. And former NHC winner who's really done a great job giving back. Michael, from outside of New Orleans, coming up here, bringing some gumbo with him as well. So it should be it's a great benefit. And it's always cool to see people that have had so much success give back to the sport, and the horses are really what do it, and to give back to the we'll call them not the stars. Everybody loves to watch Knicks go win the Whitney, and that's great, but the $6,500 claimer that won Michael $1 million, we've got to remember those as well, and to see him claim her and take care of her and start this program is really cool. So kudos to him. I will bring in my next guest, though. He's kind enough to stop by on a steamy Wednesday here, Dave Grenning. With the Racing Form, number 20 is about to be set in the books, huh?
I actually counted Sunday as the halfway point, okay. Just because it's four
end
weekends.
Yep.
4 weekends, so I did a little business recap there, and business is good.
Business is very good.
Right? $385 million through 19 days, or averaging $20 million a day. So if that continues, they could hit a magical number of $800 million for the meet in all sources handle. Mother Nature, I think it's very, very likely that they get to that number.
You and I do this for a living, so we're kind of in the loop. But if you're not, just click on a Equibase chart or a Racing Form chart at the end of the day and look at the handle for X track. Averaging 20 million is a ginormous, otherworldly number.
It is. And how about this? So on Saturday, Whitney Day, they handled 36 million here. If you took the combined handle at Meadowlands, which was their big Hamiltonian card, Monmouth, Gulfstream, and Del Mar, those four tracks combined came in at $35
million. Del Mar, by the way.
Del Mar, which is the California version of us. That's pretty impressive that you can outhandle the biggest tracks on the biggest day and add the four biggest ones up, and you don't get the Saratoga.
And oh, by the way, it's not even the biggest Saturday of the meet.
It was Whitney Day, so it's second biggest,
right.
I guess. But yeah, on Travers Day, it's an unfair fight, so it's not
amazing. Yeah. But it's a good one to look back on, as Whitney Day, as Dave said, it's the second biggest of the meet. And regardless of who wins the Travers, if it's a central quality or not, they're going to have to put on a show to better what Nick Sko did. We'll bring up the Whitney here and. Basically, Dave, Mike Callahan and I talked about it in the handicappers report. Nick's Go is one of those horses that going too fast early is a good thing. And I don't think a lot of people realize, yes, he's flying on the lead. Okay, you're going to see him. And Swiss Skydiver makes him run a little bit early. But I don't think people realize that, yes, he's flying on the lead. It takes a lot to keep up with him. And horses can spend themselves a little bit just trying to do that.
There's only a unique number of horses that can run like this, and two that come to mind are Holy Bull, back in the 90s when he won this Travers kind of in a similar fashion, although he took heat, and Quality Road to me was the type of horse who liked it better the faster he went early. Don't get the lead and try and slow it down.
Yeah.
It'll keep people in the ball game. That's what Nick Sko does here. He doesn't keep him in the game. He says, I am the game, and I'm going to go. If you want to beat me, you got to run faster than me. This is old-fashioned horse racing.
Old-fashioned
horse racing. I'm the fastest. I'm putting my horse against your horse. Let's see who's faster. This horse right now is faster than any horse out there.
And if you're not in the loop, when you go 46-3, going 9 furlongs, 2 turns right here at Saratoga, that is so fast. Dave.
It is. And here, so Swiss Skydivers. Now this is a quality field. I understand.
By the way,
5.
Yes.
This is a quality field. There's a champion in the red cap chasing you. There's a horse that's 7-8 in the blue cap chasing you.
And the number
you.
One quote,
there's
unquote,
a horse that's won
in
6 in a row on the white cap. And the trailer is a horse that's just a hard luck horse who's very good, but is just up here. He should never come here again. He stumbles. He gets the rail.
Lost
a shoe. There's a great picture from Sarah Andrews, that's with the shoe high up in the air. So these aren't, this isn't poor horses chasing them. These are talented, quality horses that will win races in the next 4 to 6 weeks or 2 months. And he's just, look at this, he's running away from them now in the last 16th of a mile. The key, watch, I don't know how late you'll play.
I'm glad you're going to say
this. Gallops out even further ahead of them, which leads you to believe that when he's asked to do the mile and a quarter in, look, he's still.
Look at where the rest of the horses are.
Right.
Right here. I mean, that's amazing.
That's a great. I'm glad. Yes. I'm glad they let it play out this far. Look at that gallop out. Tell me a mile and a quarter is going to be a problem for this.
At Del Mar.
In the short, that's the other thing, too. We talked about this after the race with Brad. Talked about it again Sunday morning. Del Mar is the perfect spot for this horse to try the mile and a quarter, which he'll probably do for the first time in the class.
And you, Brad said it. I believe he said it to you, or you wrote the recap. We found out, now we know he's not a one-turn horse. He doesn't want to do one turn. But B, he wants to hear. I brought up Shackleford. He's a lesser version of Quality Road and Holy Bull. Some of those horses just want to hear their feet roll.
Right.
And Brad said it in the quotes. He said, he doesn't want to go 48-2. He wants to go 46-3 and just bury bottom out the field.
Right. I'm going to go fast early. Maybe I can't go as fast later, though it looked like he went pretty fast late there.
Yeah.
I'm going to win because you're going to be too tired chasing me. And it's a unique type of horse. One you mentioned, the two I mentioned. I'm sure there's a few that we're not mentioning, but there aren't many. It's not a long list, the horses that like to do that, especially going around the ground.
And Maxfield, as we said, Dave said 7-8 going in, the number one ranked horse in the country, according to, you know, the polls and stuff like that. And he was someone had to be second in that race. I mean, Nixco was stunning.
Yeah,
113, I think I saw, or 11?
The buyer? I'm sorry, yeah, the buyer was 111, which coming off of 113, so he bounced.
Yes.
He lost 2 points out of the Cornhusker 5 weeks ago.
There was another big performance. I thought the test was wide open, and you know, I had Bella Sophia as an A, but I think she was like my fifth A. I didn't think she would win. I sure as heck didn't think she would win the way she did. Even Rudy Rodriguez. Here she is, three deep on the far turn with we'll call it the fluorescent colors, and this was another awesome win, off an allowance win.
Right. I spoke with the. You know, Steve Bick on the radio the day before, and I dismissed this horse. I know she had run some fast numbers, but she had done it against competition that she hadn't faced. She hadn't faced this type of competition before, but it didn't matter. She beat a really solid field here, and she did it impressively. And I need to go back and rethink my thoughts on Bella Sophia because she was very, very good in that spot here.
And she ran extremely fast as well. I mean, that was search results getting her doors beat off there.
Search results, the obligatory, did no running. I liked obligatory coming in. Bob Baffert saw fit to send a horse here off a maiden win.
And she ran. She was fine.
She ran.
But
not, you know, nobody ran as well as Sophia, obviously.
Where are these horses going, Dave? Let's just go back to Nixco real quickly. I know Brad mentioned a couple spots. As you alluded to, the classic, so we'll work backwards from the classic. What did he mention?
Well, he didn't mention anything. We mentioned.
Okay.
We tried and come
sure.
up.
Sure. It's your job.
Lucas Classic was one. The Awesome Again, if you want to go out to California. But he said something to me on Sunday. He said, I'd like a race like the Cornhusker, like some easy type of spot. And I found one for him. Found a good one for him. The Parks Dirt Mile September 25th. It's not sexy. Mm-hmm. It's not graded. It's only a mile, but it's two turns. It's 6 weeks out from the Breeders' Cup. You're probably going to run against nothing. And you can do what you just did there without having, in a canter. It doesn't matter. The classic is what's going to matter. No one's going to remember what he did in the week, the race before the classic. Whether he runs in the Lucas Classic or the Awesome Again or the Parks Dirt Mile, no one's going to remember it if he wins the Breeders' Cup.
I feel like Awesome Again went to like the Hawthorne Gold Cup or something before he won the Breeders' Cup Classic.
So I don't know if he'll do that.
Right.
You know, part of that in my bringing that up to him was thinking that Mandaloon was still available for the PA Derby.
Right.
So it's like, well, if you're going to be there for one horse, you might as well bring another horse with him. Now that Mandaloon is out, and I still think he'll have a horse in the PA Derby.
Sure.
Snowhouse, Folsom, somebody deep on the bench there.
Right.
But whether he brings this horse there or not, I don't know. But to me, I could sort of plot out the campaign for everybody else. Maxfield loves Churchill. He's 4-4.
Yeah.
Lucas Classic makes sense for him there. Silver State's going to cut back in a race like the Kelso, maybe the Woodward, but I would think the Kelso makes sense. Swiss Skydiver is going to come back against Phillies and Mares and the Purcell Ensign. And I don't know what they do with by my standards, but I could put those top four in different races going forward if they elect.
And if you go to the Awesome Again, you got to ship, you got to come back, then you got to ship.
Well, that's
again.
The thing.
It's
ship,
like there's a
you
lot.
You ship and stay.
Yeah.
I mean, even though you're
shipping's still a problem now too.
Yeah, it's not. You know, it's still FedEx, so that thing hasn't been resolved yet. I still think my belief is if you ship out there, you probably just stay. But that one thing that Brad has said. And the one reason this horse was at Ellis and not in Saratoga is that he has, he's a little tough in the morning. And so you want the same rider on him.
Sure.
That guy was at Ellis. That exercise rider is at Ellis Park. So, and I'm sure getting on eight others a day.
Right.
So I don't know. I just think I we'll see where he goes. But it's awesome again. Yeah, it's another grade one, and the California contingent doesn't look to be overly strong. Although I would imagine some of these three-year-olds, if they're not done for the year, show up in something like that. I mean, Medina Spirit is training. Hot Rod Charlie is not. Right. Rumbauer is not. But there's some other ones out there that may show up.
And like you said, at this point, when you're a multiple grade one winner, you're the best horse in training, you're one to 100 to win horse of the year. If you win that race, the road less traveled is plenty fun.
Right. And then, look, you're going to have to run. Look, the biggest threat right now, might be right down the a few doors down in Central Quality. Because the thing about this year's group of older horses that I find lacking is a true mile and a quarter horse.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean,
Max Player, who will probably run the Jockey Club Gold Cup here, is a legitimate mile and a quarter horse. But is he in that league? I don't know if he's in that league.
And Maxfield, who we thought went out to Santa Anita and was kind of a pretty flat big cap. I know he's wide and all that stuff, but he didn't
I wouldn't dismiss him totally at that distance just yet because it was his first time trying it. But again, I don't know. I didn't see anything that made me think that in however many weeks that he can.
Right. You take your chances with Nick's go, I think.
Yeah.
not all is no pun intended, roses in the Brad Cox barn, and you alluded to it. We'll show a Mandaloon here, supposed to be winning the Kentucky Derby from personal preference, but he didn't. But anyway, Dave hinted at it, and the news is that a bum foot is going to unfortunately derail him for the rest of the year. The good news is the folks at Judmont have the Saudi Cup in early 2022 in mind, but that's a wrap on 2021 for Mandaloon.
Pretty much. Okay. I mean, I guess there's a chance that if something made sense late 2021 that would get him to the Saudi Cup. And, but I tend to think that maybe there's a race in January somewhere, whether it's, I don't know. I know Oakland has put out their schedule, but I don't know exactly what it is or what might make sense. Yeah. I don't think he would do Pegasus.
And being at Fairgrounds this winter, I know Brad is obviously there as well. They have races, as Maxfield did that this year, this winter, to get a prep into him. Good that he's going to be back, though.
I think it's good. Look, he's a 3-year-old that with the pedigree that he has and the the connections that he has, figures to get better as a 4-year-old. And he's won a couple of races, won one race so far via DQ. He might win another race at some point in time via DQ. But he's also won. He won at Fairgrounds, and he did win at Monmouth on the Pegasus. So there's more for him to prove, I think. More for him to get done. But and I think we'll get to see that next year. I think we'll see him somewhere. Then the Saudi Cup. Could they go to Dubai after that, and then maybe see him? We're going to go way ahead of ourselves, but we'll see him again.
Yeah, I mean, next year in horse racing is 40 years away, but it's exciting at the thought of a really good horse with a monster pedigree sticking around to see what he can do at four, because for better or worse, we just don't see it a lot.
Right. And I'm also hopeful that we see Essential Quality back next year. I mean,
they like to run their horses.
They like to
give
run
them
their
credit.
Horses. I'm going to guess, just hazarding a guess, that they'll probably retire Mystic Guide. And he was,
Who is four now.
Right. And so you take Mystic Guide and maybe bring him as your new stallion, and then maybe let Essential Quality race another year and then bring him back in next. I mean, maybe it's fantasy land, but there aren't too many horses that have been champions at two and then three, which is likely to be, and then I don't know too many that have been two, three, and four. So
looking
that could
at be, Lucky, I think doubled up at two and three.
That could be quite interesting if you try and bring him back. But I'm sure they have the Dubai. I'm also sure they would like to run something in the Dubai World Cup.
Absolutely, Godolphin. That
Godolphin,
we're talking about.
Right? I'm not sure that we've kind of poo-pooed Maxfield on the mile and a quarter ability. So if Mr. Guy is indeed they do retire him, it's a big if. They have no decision. Then you have Essential Quality, who is proven obviously at a distance ground. So you bring him for the Dubai World Cup. And then maybe he has a 4-year-old.
And the good thing about Essential Quality is he's three now, whereas Mystic Guide and Maxfield are four, turning five.
Right.
So it's a very good chance. And he's a lightly raced 3-year-old as well. It's not like he's gone to the well 12, 14 times.
Right.
I mean, he's very lightly
and
raced.
And Maxfield is another that could retire him potentially too, and then have two courses going to stud, and then leave this one to have some fun next year.
Co-features today on a big, big pick. I said, Dave, I think this pick six could get $2 million because I think there's so many things in its favor. Delaware canceled.
Right.
There is no Del Mar, obviously, on Wednesday.
Right.
These PPs came out Sunday. People have had over 3 days now to dope this out. It's a dollar. There's already 187 in the kitty. You know this as good as anyone. They are sending it in on this pick six. Carryover or not, you know, they show the graphic with 21 minutes to post. There's 100,000 already in there. It's huge. It's a tough sequence. I want to bring up a video of Arrest Me Red. You know, he hasn't run since December. This is not a private purchase, but it is first time Wesley Ward. Arrest Me Red winning the Atlantic Beach at Aqueduct in November, getting back to turf sprinting. Still the Lau colors, and the one down inside looked really good. This is a tough race, Dave. Jackson Travelers here. Wesley's got another one into the Sunrise. This is a very competitive Mahoney.
It is, and you're looking at this horse here. He's kind of stuck on the inside looking for some room. Oh, there's the room. And then he splits horses and he runs, you know, he doesn't go through it with authority, but once he gets to the front and he's pushed on, and he does get the job done. And look, this horse's third career start. Unfortunately, he's only had one since. He's been off for a long time. But Wesley, this horse did win off workouts when he was with Arnold Delacour.
Yeah.
And, you know, Wesley is very good bringing horses back off a layoff or getting them started. So it looks like he has some good foundation underneath him. Training at Keeneland and then over the turf course here. So, yeah, he's definitely one that would have to be on your ticket in the pick six. I thought, you know, Momos.
Very well at Momos, yeah.
He ran a really good race there. And I thought Jackson Traveler ran respectable enough that day against Golden Pal. No one was beating Golden Pal that day.
No.
And he was only beaten narrowly by Omaha City for second. So I would give him another shot as well.
Yeah, and that was his turf debut as well. And he ran very, very Golden Pal would be 1-100 in here. Heck, he was 1-100 in the quick car, arguably. Right. If not the best turf sprinter in the country, certainly the best three-year-old turf sprinter in the country.
Golden Pal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's a good one. The Mahoney, as we mentioned, race you could go several deep. Dave and I were talking off the air. We're not sure if Danny California is going to run in the Evans shipment. Quickly, though, let's give Mr. Buff a 30 seconds here. What a cool horse. What a job John Kimmel's doing. I don't know if it's going the wrong way time, but he is just a super state bred superstar.
He is. He's I think he happens to be going the other way. And I think today we'll probably make that decision for them.
I would imagine
that if he didn't run very well in this spot here, that they would say that's enough. It's the type of race that he's supposed to be prominent in.
Yes.
He's supposed to probably win it, given his back class, but you know, maybe 46 races, 7 years old, the heat of Saratoga, who knows what it's gonna do later today. This could be the last one or two for him, but he's had a brilliant career. When he's on his game, he's been terrific.
Yeah,
he's had a tremendous career, and it's be fun to see him. I'm glad we get to see him up here one more time.
I think
it's been a while since he's run up here, to be honest with you. I guess he ran in the Whitney.
Yeah,
but he hasn't run at a spot that he could win up here in a while.
17 for 46, over 1.3 in the bank for the Bromans. Great supporters of New York bred racing. There's an Artemis Agroterra either today or tomorrow, I believe.
Tomorrow.
That won the Ballerina for them up here a few summers back. So. It's cool to see him, and as Dave said, we'll find out today where Mr. Buff is going, and if he's not going anywhere, that's all right too, because he's been great for so many years, and it's cool to see him again up here. John Kimmel's done a really good job. DG, always appreciate it.
Fine,
busy Wednesday. Yeah, Dave Grenning from the Racing Forum, check him out. Second guest here on Racing Across America. When we come back, Peter Thomas, Four and a Towel to wrap it up. We'll talk gumbo. We'll talk pick six. We'll talk a little bit of everything with PTF. Stay tuned.
Juvenile fillies turf, 14 of them across the track. Leader set on their way. End of the dance on the outside. Broke a little sideways with Pro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be stopped. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shopping. Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Here's Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten. Stop shopping.
Diego.
Watched her chances, broke smartly, but so did Tara from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, can get through. Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Tara from the Cape hanging on. Tara from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of Racing Across America. Brian Natta with you. Special thanks to Michael Baychak for stopping by. And we're going to talk a little bit more about him in a second with my next guest, Gumbo for the Horses tonight to benefit the TRF, 6 to 8 o'clock, a little bit outside of town. We'll give the details again in a second. And DG, Dave Grenning from the Racing Forum, who's been kind of a Wednesday regular with his buddy Mike Welsh from the Forum as well, talking a little shop, a little Whitney recap, and little look going forward as well. And my next guest comes in. You probably saw him. Seth did a great interview up close and personal over at, well, pretty close to here. I won't give all the details.
We call
you
it
probably let anybody come over
yeah,
anyway.
We call it the Little House on the East Side.
Okay, I like yeah. it. I yeah. like it. Peter Thomas Fornatale joins me in the Money Podcast and several different ventures, but one that you were in front and center with tonight with Michael Baychak.
We got Gumbo for the Horses. Can't wait. When we started the In the Money Media Network, we at that time were starting from nothing. And the first partners we ever worked with, the first person who ever came up to me and said, "Hey, we'd like to sponsor your podcast," Kim Weir of the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And we have been working together ever since, coming up with clever ways to raise money for these horses so they'll be taken care of when their racing days are done. And tonight is the latest iteration. You can see the graphics up there on the screen. We've got Gumbo in from New Orleans. I believe it's Frank Brightson's recipe.
Michael mentioned it. Yep.
And that's going to be a ton of fun. We want to see as many people out there as possible. You can buy your ticket. Easiest way to do so, you see it, the URL right up there on the screen, trfinc.org/players. We're starting at 6. I imagine we'll go to about 8:30. We'll find a place to after party, maybe across the street with our friends at Artisanal Brew Works. That's on the short list. Simply Food by Mora is the venue. It's going to be a great night, and I'm really looking forward to this gumbo that Michael has been preparing with Chef Frank.
And I had, like I said, I had Mike on earlier, and he alluded to his story, the personal one of him winning the NHC, but he's winning it with a $6,500 claimer. And yeah, okay, he won $1 million, and he could easily do so many different things with that. But you know, I think a lot of us, we lose sight of the fact that it's the horses that get it done. And you know, it's not Nick Sko winning the Whitney; it's a $6,500 claimer at Golden Gate Fields, and you know that can go many different ways. And Michael saw fit to reach in and claim that horse, and I guess the rest is kind of history, and it's kind of brought us full circle to what's happening tonight.
Glorious Dancer is one of my favorite stories. There was a podcast recently on our network, Maggie Wolfendale, on her Off Track podcast, telling Michael's full story about claiming and retiring this horse that did so much for him. And I really believe that that 2012 NHC represented a sea change in the way that horse players think about the horses themselves. I mean, sure, there have been people involved in aftercare for longer than that, but I feel like now, nearly 10 years on, more than ever, players appreciate the fact that we need to play our part, too, in making sure these animals are taken care of. And we always say on our shows on the In the Money Media Network, and I think it goes of Capital OTB programming as well, if you ever do have a score based on something you hear on these airwaves, we're not looking for tips. It's, you know, it's awesome if you want to buy us a drink, but more important is to think about the horses and to have a charity like the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation in mind to give a little bit of the spoils when things go well at this very difficult game.
And the beauty of it is, too, you know, this is the Glorious Dancer is the perfect example that, you're not going to buy Nick's Go out of the Whitney and take care of him. We get that. But this is a $6,500 claim that Michael dipped in. You know, it's not $1 million. And these are the cookie cutter horses in our game that, for the most part, especially the degenerates like you and I, that on a day in and day out basis when we're firing at parks on a Monday, you have a good day at the track, that horse is out there to, you know, if you want to make a difference. It's not, you don't have to spend $80,000 to make a difference.
No, in fact, for $30, I should get the numbers right. Kim Weir will correct me if I'm wrong, but the $30 buys a bale of hay, and you're feeding a horse and you're doing good, even if you don't have four figures, even if you don't have three figures to spare, you can still be part of the solution. And as for your comment about firing at various racetracks on various days, I resemble that remark.
You would more than probably anyone I know, and that's not a criticism by any stretch of the imagination. Just had a birthday recently as well. I didn't get the number. Good buddy Tom Law turned the big 5-0.
He's one ahead of me.
He's one ahead of me. Okay.
Though I still am proud of my social media post where I dug up the 4-0
I saw that.
Cutout letters that Susan had 9 years ago and just posted 40 again. That's all I'm popping
like
to. But just amongst us friends here on the OTB channel, I'll give you the real number, 49.
All right. Well, 1.7 million people now know that. you're also, as I mentioned, a true gambler, DGDF. DGDH, kind of, sort of, tomorrow, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, that's going to be a ton of fun. Normally, we do the flat track all day, Pinnell's in the middle, harness track all night. The problem with the new schedule over at Harness, the only day you could do the old school DGDH would be to do a Saturday, and even my liver isn't up for that challenge.
We made the executive decision not to double up on Saturday, so we'll be firing some Del Mar.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night here at the flats, probably be over in the paddock bar tomorrow. So stop by and see us. Hopefully we'll be buying free drinks tomorrow, because there's a lot going on here I don't want to call it a ho-hum Wednesday here at the spa, but you know, normally you're not going to gear up for Wednesday, the 20th day of the meet, by the way, the middle of the meet, cut it right in half today. But you, as much as anyone, are in the loop on these pick sixes. And even before we get into the sequence today, I thought when they brought it back to $1 this summer, I thought it would be very, very well represented. I did not think on a random non-carryover Thursday, the first graphic with 22 minutes to post that would be up and it would have $112,000 in it. They're betting this pick six with both hands.
It's been great to see. We vote with our dollars as horse players. And while I understand the reason that the low minimums are appealing to players, in the big picture of life, I don't think they're a good thing. And I can guarantee you they're not a good thing when they have that jackpot element. So
yeah.
Props to Naira for coming out and coming out strong with this the dollar minimum. I think it's the right compromise. We've seen
Agree.
Plenty of carryovers, and we've seen the ability still to get more coverage than the old school $2 one. So I think it's working out incredibly well. And I also love it when we catch the Sunday carryover. You get a little bit more time to look at this thing than the quick turnaround. Let's people do podcasts and TV shows going into the sequence in depth.
PPs were drawn Sunday, so we've had plenty of time to look at them. Delaware Park canceled today. Del Mar does not run on Wednesday. There's 187 in the kitty today. I said It would not shock me if they get $2 million. I think 1.5 is probably 3 to 5. I think typically you'll say about 5 times the carryover.
Yep.
I think today you can be more aggressive in that guesstimation with all encompassing going around the country. It's a perfect day.
That's a great point about the other action not going on. And then you just have the fact that it's Saratoga and that brand name Saratoga. We saw it last year. Last year's Saratoga was Belmont North due to circumstances of the world. We still saw Handel jump. There's something about that, the little tents in the corner of the screen that get horse players' blood pumping. And this year, when we're back to the more traditional lineup of the best circuits around the country coming together to put on the country's best race meet, or certainly, here, and I'll give it here, I'll give it Keeneland, I'll give it if Breeders' Cup counts. But there's something special about Saratoga, and I think you're right. We're going to see it today and how people approach this carryover. And it's an interesting sequence. When I say that, I think for me there's a lot of races that are very straightforward, but it's going to be interesting to see if we can't write some tickets in ways to try to get us paid, despite the fact that I think there might be some heavy chalk coming in a couple of these races.
Yeah, especially at the end. But I've got a replay to bring up, and it's a horse that didn't initially pop on my radar. In the feature today, the Mahoney, race 9. Now, some scratches before we get to this key. Okay, we know the MTOs are out, but Jackson Traveler is a very key scratch out of that race. The MTO of Fire Sword is out. Awesome Jerry, the 6, is out. And the 9, Rebel Posse, are out of the main body of this field. Jackson Traveler, the morning line favorite, obviously the biggest scratch. It could affect the race flow, could directly affect the video we're going to show up here. This is Skies Not Falling at Colonial Downs in a state-bred race last time. Okay, he's the 12 horse in the Johnston colors, the white and blue. Here he's going to come inside with nowhere to go, the black and blue, nowhere to go there as well. Still no really where to go. He's just kind of, coasting. Now he finds his seam. The favorite is clear with a 3-wide trip. Bursts up the inside. The favorite wins like a good thing. This horse had a ton of trouble. I thought he would get set up today, Pete. Now with the scratch of Jackson Traveler, we're going to 5.5 on a snappy turf course. The race dynamics change a little bit into the Sunrise and Momos. Probably move forward a little bit with that scratch.
That's the way I saw it. Yeah. I put Momos into the mix. I wasn't sure how it was going to set up before with Jackson Traveler going to be in that attack position. But I think it's either going to be into the Sunrise. I mean, at this point now, he becomes the best speed with the best numbers. Yes. That's something you always want on there. But Momos has that early lick, too.
Yeah.
And he's in hands where a big performance up here at Saratoga wouldn't surprise me one bit. I wanted to have both of those numbers, but that's a good spot on the trip on that on that runner in there. I've already forgotten the name. Sky's Not Falling.
Sky's
the 3.
Not falling.
Stuck in that vice and still finishing. I mean, it's not crazy. On pace figures, not going to be too far back. Not crazy at all to at least have a backup line there.
No, and you would think Luis Saez puts him in the game a little bit early on. Michael Bajak, to start this show, brought up a good point. And Johnny D, a longtime friend, Johnny DeSantis, he was the first person to ever mention this to me. I said, where are you looking first today? He said, I'm looking at the last race first, the most important race, because that ends everything. And Michael did that. He said, well, I looked at the last race first because I want to see what's going on in there. And clever fellow. Is he kind of has to win. He's on the drop for Chad, the MSW drop. There's not a lot in here. The second best horse in the race, Viking Zim, he already beat last time. He's more tactical than Viking Zim. He's way better drawn than Viking Zim. This is the type of sequence now. You mentioned it, ticket construction, trying to get a price before we get to the last, because clever fellow looks odds on, and anybody on a budget always singles the last if they can.
This horse just makes all the sense in the world. The only amendment I'd make to your can't lose statement is if it weren't horse racing, the horse couldn't lose.
Good point. He has run 4 times. He's run 6 times. He's been second 4 times.
But the thing about that is people get, questioning if a horse has a character flaw in that situation. But when they're running at a new low level and the numbers say they're a standout, more often than not, they're a standout. And then you just have the fact that last race, how well the form is working out.
Yeah.
I think 90% of the money for me will run through Clever Fellow. I think that, I could see a Viking Zim backup line could benefit from a meltdown, or if just you know, because it's horse racing, the top pick doesn't show up, but just too obvious not to be one of the linchpin type runners. And I think this sequence, where you've got a few different races where I feel like it makes sense to get skinny, in addition to a typical ABC pick six construction that we talk about, it might make sense to have a couple of different tickets where if two out of three races you get right, where you have one or two horses that you want to use, you get paid really inclusively in the other legs, and or just trying to come at the top line, your all A line, for way more than the base increment. You know, this is a good day potentially to try to have some $10 or even $20 lines, I think.
You have a strong opinion in race seven. I have zero opinion in race seven. Six A's and six B's for me. We do know the seven, El Est Forte, is out of race seven. 7-7 out. You have a strong opinion on Town Avenger. She was an A for me. She was not... she scratches into my third choice now. No, she is my fourth choice. Excuse me. She is an A. Your opinion stronger than mine. Mike Callahan had a single in here as well. And I said this to him, and I'll say it to you. You get very... lucky's not really the right word. You get really helped by having a strong opinion, where a lot of the betting public will have no opinion, like me, whatsoever.
Yeah, I can see the logic for spreading, but there's a couple of things about Town Avenger that make me think this could be one to build around. Very much against the flow the last day, and I thought beyond being against the flow, had a trip, not breaking particularly well, coming wide, and just looking at closing sectionals, a strong upgrade for me in this spot. Might have a little bit of trouble getting a trip from the outside again today, but this is one I'm very good pressing. I definitely want some backups on the 9 community adjustment, another improving type that can finish a little bit and should be a price. So I'll have some 9s in there as well. This is another race where I wouldn't hate having one ticket where I'm as deep as you are, you know, to the absolute logicals. But in terms of the ones that I want to press up, it's all about the 11 and 9 for me.
Let's quickly, before we get out of here, talk about race 5, Pete, because I think the budget players are just going to see the 8-5 and 6-5 on the 1 and 4. And I think David's got this right, Aragon. I do think these horses are something to 5. I also personally don't think they have to win. And I'm not against them. I think you have to use them as A's. I'm using the 5 and 6 as well. My brother Neil and Lucky Brody. I am tread very lightly on the two favorites. Your old friend, we lost him, Harvey Pack, always said, don't ask a horse to do something he's never done at a short number. Tivoli Twirl, Blitz to Win have never run anywhere remotely close to 9 furlongs or 2 turns.
It's a fair point, but when it comes down to pace dynamics, feel like the 1 and the 4 are, I love how complementary they are. I'd hate to have the 8-5 and the 6-5 with this kind of form and figures to start things off if it was 2 speed horses or 2 closers, but I feel more comfortable putting, I don't know, 60% of the ticket, maybe a little more even, through the 1 and the 4, because with Tivoli Twirl, you get the best speed, fast enough to win at the level, or at least within hailing distance on the speed figure pars, and then Blitz to Win looks like the best one late.
Yeah.
And when you can,
fair.
That gives to me a little bit extra of a reason to get dialed in. But I mean, I'm not going to argue with anybody who wants to have backups, and I'd love to have some tickets where the horses you mentioned are included, where, you know, I have to be pretty darn right the rest of the way.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you know, the buyer par, if that's your thing, is a 79 in this race. And when you can find one that's running a 79, you let me know because he's going to win by 4. But it's an interesting race to start off, because I do think the budget players are probably just going to go 1-4 and move on. Do you have anything else? Could be clever, could be a lean in the sequence before we get out of here.
In race 6, I like the 2 Shining Colors. I thought that was a hidden improved race last time. Bit against the flow, and looking at the late sectionals, still finished faster than the closing sectional par in the race. Not one I'm going to single. Mm-hmm. I think Starship Dreams with the Lasix and blinkers makeover needs to be included in the presumptive favorite. The 3, Miss Penelope Pitstop, has obvious claims. But I thought pressing up the 2 Shining Colors might be a place to pick up a little bit of equity in the sequence.
What do you make of the 3? I'm not disagreeing with the morning line, because I do think she is probably, against a group like this, something to 5. But she's pretty darn competitive in a special weight for 46 at Monmouth at 9-5, by the way. And no, here now, take her for 30. I don't know.
It's not the greatest vibes all the way around. And that's why at something to five, more of a defensive use for me. But she got a great chance to be loose. And at this level, they don't always like to pass.
That's not a bad thing.
I'm going to want that horse on plenty of tickets for sure.
Peter Thomas, Four and a Towel, always a pleasure. Always thank you for joining us. And not only on the handicapping, but a very important cause. And there's Kim out there as well. We thank her, Kim Weir, who's done a great job as well. So thank you. Just quickly tonight, Gumbo for the Horses.
Gumbo for the Horses, Simply Food by Maura. Come join us, 6 o'clock. There will be gumbo. There will be beer. There will be merriment. You see it up there on the table. I think you can still pre-order trfinc.org/players, or you can show up at the door and give a little more. It all goes to charity. Fantastic cause. The Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, helping humans and horses with second chances.
All right, Peter Thomas, Four and a Towel, we appreciate it. That'll do it for Racing Across America here on a Wednesday. Pick 6 today, race 5 through 10. Fire up the OTB accounts. We'll take one more quick break and wrap it when we come back. Stay tuned.
For 4 generations and looking forward to a 5th, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Quick wrap here on the Wednesday edition of Racing Across America. Special thanks to all my guests, Michael Baychok, Dave Grenning, and Peter Thomas. I got a promo. Pete's coming back on Sunday to do the handicappers report with Seth. So you'll get the whole 10-race slate from PTF on Sunday. So that'll be a lot of fun. A little guest handicapper on Sunday. But don't forget, tonight, Gumbo for the Horses. Kim Weir was just outside the booth here as well. And she's front and center putting all that together. And Michael and Pete collaborating with her. So Gumbo for the Horses, you can check it out online. You can still get your tickets just a little bit outside of town, 6 to 8 o'clock tonight. Thank you, Bri. Appreciate that, putting that up for me. Gumbo for the Horses in Saratoga. Michael's got some gumbo shipping up from New Orleans. He's going to be putting the finishing touches on in the kitchen. You get a brew for that. It won't end there at 8 o'clock, but that's what it goes to. The venue is in the backyard. It's Simply Food by Maura, 666 Route 9 in Wilton. On the way to the wishing well. So all that goes down tonight for a couple hours. It is a great cause. You know, you can donate. Obviously, you buy your ticket as a donation in and of itself. And, you know, we've got to support these horses who do so much for us. And Michael, front and center with that. I mean, claiming the horse that won him $1 million back in 2012. I just think that's a great story. You can check that out. Google that story as well. Glorious Change. And just do a blood horse search. Ron Mitchell wrote it in 2013. As Pete said in the Money podcast, Maggie Wolfendale did one as well with Michael sitting down. So it's an awesome story. Commendable. Kudos to him. And that goes down tonight. Big, huge, giant pick 6 carryover today. Fund those Capital OTB Bets account, race 5 through 10. Mike Callahan and I had tickets. I'll update it. There's been some key scratches, too. I'll update the one sheet as well. That is it. Day 20, kicking off week 5 here at the Spa on a steamy Wednesday. Best of luck. I'll see you right back here tomorrow morning with Anthony Mormino. Take care.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.